You know, I'll never forget the day that we moved into the building where you're sitting today. It was November the 1st, 1992. Our dedication speaker that Sunday was Dr. Richard Halverson, who at the time was the chaplain of the United States Senate. And if you would have told me on that day, November 1st, 1992, that 7 years later, in 1999, we would be putting this facility up for sale and moving, I would have looked at you like you were crazy. But here we are. Because on as of 9:45 a.m., Wednesday, February 17th, 1999, the piece of property that used to be called the National Wildlife Federation is now called the future home of McLean Bible Church. We're excited about that. That's wonderful. Now, yeah. Now, what I want to do today is talk about, well, now what are we going to do? And if you're here and you're visiting with us, I want you to know that we don't talk like this every single week. It's a one-time deal, but this is some important talk that we need to have as a family. So come along with us. I think you'll enjoy it. But now what do we do? Well, just before answering that question, I do want to say a couple of quick things. Number one, I want to tell you that we believe that this property was given to us by God and that it's a gift from Him. He deserves the credit. The second thing I want to say to you is that we're determined to use this wonderful gift that God has given us, not to lift up ourselves or to exalt ourselves, but to lift up Jesus Christ and to advance the kingdom of God here in Washington. And the third thing that I want to say is that we do not worship acreage. We don't worship square footage. We don't worship buildings and property. That's not what this is about. The reason we're so excited is because we see this piece of property as a tool that will allow us to do a better job of, for example, first of all, of making an impact for Jesus Christ on people here in Washington who aren't yet Christians. And also it'll allow us to do a better job of meeting the needs of our own church family. For example, it will enable us to have sufficient space for our teenagers, which we don't have now. It'll enable us to have sufficient space for our adult Sunday school classes where husbands and wives can grow together in their relationship with one another and in their relationship with the Lord. We don't have that now. It'll be a more conducive, less crowded space for children. We won't have 40 toddlers piled on top of each other in a classroom like we do now. Will be a place where Club One, our ministry for young couples married less than 3 years, won't have to meet down at Langley High School. They can meet in our own building. It'll be a place where we can have a permanent food pantry and a permanent clothing exchange for people who need that kind of assistance. It'll be a place where Soul Purpose, our ministry to people in their 30s and early 40s that are working professionals, they won't have to meet in the auditorium sitting and facing forward, which is not a very relationship-friendly way to sit. But it's the only space we have for them. We can give them a space where they can sit around tables and look at each other. It'll be a place where we can have all of our frontliners in one service and not have to split them up into two like we do now. It'll be a place where we can have a Christian resource center that sells Bibles and tapes and other Christian helps. Over in this area of Fairfax and Montgomery County, there's nothing over here like that. We need something like that. It'll be a place where people don't have to hurry away because there's no place to stand and talk, but where we can go down to the cafeteria and have breakfast or lunch or coffee and sit around and build community with one another. It'll be a place where we have enough space where if you call and you need a room, we can give it to you. I remember a couple years ago, we had an elders meeting, and we forgot to call ahead and get a room, and so when we showed up, the only room available was the toddler room. So we had to go in there and sit on those little midget chairs, you know those little things? And we got a couple elders over 6 feet tall. Now you talk about being undignified. This was undignified. But there was no other space to meet. So we won't have to be like the old woman that lived in the shoe anymore. Now with all that said, let's talk about where we believe God is directing us as a church family to go now that we have this piece of property. The National Wildlife Federation is 43 acres with an existing building on it that's developed. It's not just a warehouse, an existing building of 232,000 square feet. The county has given us permission to go to the maximum square footage allowed under the current R1 zoning, which means that we're going to be adding another 50,000 square feet in the part of a new auditorium that will seat 2,400 adults in theater seats in the audience. Now, we cannot begin construction right away. The reason is the National Wildlife Federation is renting back a significant portion of this property for the next 18 to 24 months while they build their new building. We did that because it helps us carry the loan for the next year and a half because they're paying us rent. So the soonest we can occupy a new auditorium will be somewhere between the fall of 2001 to the spring of 2002. You say, well, Lon, what are we going to do in the meantime? Well, in the meantime, we've thought about this, and we believe that to be responsible managers of God's funds, we need to try to keep our debt load as low as we possibly can going through this project. And so, in light of that, we have decided to go ahead and sell this present property as soon as we possibly can, so that we can take the hopefully $6 to $7 million that we realize from the sale, and we can use that to reduce what we have to borrow from the bank. This property is on the market. We've had some interested people look at it. We hope to sell this piece of property before the end of 1999. Now, that also means we need to go somewhere between now and the year 2001-2002. So where are we going? Well, I want to show you some slides to tell you where we're going. The plan is to construct an interim auditorium. This is the downstairs of the National Wildlife Federation building. Here's Route 7 to give you a sense of perspective. Here's the parking lot that exists. And what we're planning to do is go into there and build an interim worship center downstairs that will seat 1,300 people. All of the rest of the downstairs space will be children's space that we will turn into children's classrooms. And then we're going to take a mezzanine level that we have and turn that into teenage space. And so that is where we will be. We're going to move the whole shooting match over there, Lord willing, next year. Sometime in the spring of next year, we hope to move everybody over there. So whatever you plan to do in this building, you better do it soon, because Lord willing, we're going to be out of here by about this time next year or a little bit after that. Now you say, well, what about adult Sunday school space? What about offices for the staff and everything? Well, let's just say that we're going to add new meaning to the word flexibility. We don't have any of that space, so we're going to make do. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be okay. And Lord willing, we're going to operate in this interim space for somewhere between 12 and 18 months until we can complete the build-out of the larger auditorium. Now, let me show you what that's going to look like. Next slide. This is, again, Route 7, the existing parking lot. Here's the auditorium, which we plan to add on the Route 7 side of the building. Here's the lobby. All of the first floor space, roughly about 35,000 square feet, will be children's space, so all of the children will be on the same level as the auditorium. And in the middle is the cafeteria, which will be operating on Sunday so that you can have lunch, you can have breakfast, you can go down and have a cup of coffee, sit around with your friends. You don't have to rush off. And then we'll also have space on the lower floor and the upper floors for offices, adult Sunday school space, gymnasium, youth center, special needs center, and on and on and on. Now you say, but Lon, parking, we want parking, right? Yeah? What about parking? What are we doing about that? Well, let me show you. Route 7, again, existing building. We have received permission from the county to build 1,250 parking spaces on ground, and then to put 1,250 more spaces on a one-level deck on top of it. Now, that means 2,500 total parking spaces. Right now, here at Balls Hill Road, we have 430. We will have 2,500 when we go over there. Now, that's the good news. Say, uh-oh. What's the bad news? Well, the bad news is that when we got finished doing all of this and we sat down and ran the financial numbers on this, we can't afford it. That's the bad news. We can't afford to do all of this. The maximum that the bank would lend us, when you translate that into the size of the project, is $35 million. That's the most we can do. Let me show you what we get for $35 million. We get the purchase of the new property, $14.25 million, already done. We get the new auditorium, we get children's ministry space, we get one half of a parking deck, one half of it. And then we get no gym, no youth center, no developed adult ministry space, no special needs center, and reduced staff office space. It's like moving into a house where the living room and the dining room sit empty for the first few years. That's kind of like what this is. But the worst part about it is maybe we could live without a gym for a while, or we could live without a special needs center for a while. But parking, I mean, we can't live without parking. And half a deck is not enough. So what are we going to do? Well, let me tell you about the parking deck. The one-level parking deck will cost approximately, you ready for this? $9 million. That's what the deck costs, $9 million. You say, Lon, what were you smoking when you agreed to something like this? Well, the truth is, friends, we didn't want the deck. Every time the subject of the deck came up, we said, no, 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 no. We're not building a deck. We can't afford a deck. We want all the parking spaces on grade. But friends, by the time it was over, it was either take the parking deck or be limited to 1,250 spaces total forever. Now, we couldn't live with 1,250 parking spaces. And God squeezed us into this. There was no other place to go, trust me. So we said, well, we'll take the deck. And so we took it. Now, we know sufficient parking is critical. So much so, we've had some of the people on our team actually suggest that if we can only build one of the two, the auditorium or the parking deck, we ought to build the parking deck first. And then wait, we'll do the auditorium later. But you got to have parking. And so as you can see, with our $35 million limit, we can only build half of the parking deck. And then there's a lot of other things like a gymnasium and a youth center and offices and adult space that we can't even build. Now, this is where we were, folks, up to 3 weeks ago. We were totally stuck. This is it. You say, well, Lon, how did you feel? Well, I felt like Moses approaching the Red Sea, but it's not open. That's how I felt. And I would get up in the middle of the night and I would pray because I couldn't sleep, and I would say, God, what have I gotten these people into? You know, how in the world did I possibly get us into a situation like this? And I thought I was hearing from you, God. I thought that you were telling us to go forward. Did I miss it? I mean, where did I go wrong here? That's where we were. Now, I want to tell you about something wonderful that God has done in the last 3 weeks. 2.5 weeks ago or thereabouts, we received in writing a most gracious offer. Now, you're sitting down, aren't you? All right, here's the offer. We have in writing the following offer. We have someone who has offered to match dollar for dollar the total amount that comes into our building fund through the end of 1999, through December the 31st, 1999. But it gets better. They have also offered to make it retroactive for all of the money that came in 1998. And so Monday of this week, we got from these people over $2.5 million to match the $2.5 million that came in last year. And they have said that every dollar that comes in this year through December the 31st, they will match dollar for dollar. And let me tell you the best part. The most amazing part is there's no maximum to their offer. So if $5 million comes in this year, they'll give us $5 million. If $10 million comes in this year, they'll give us $10 million. If all $12.3 million that's been committed to Building for Life comes in this year, they'll give us $12.3 million. If $15 million comes in, they'll give us $15 million. They ended their letter by saying the size of our gift will depend upon how McLean Bible Church as a church family responds to our offer. And the more generous McLean Bible Church is, the more generous we will be. That's the offer. Now, you can say praise God or clap or do something, can't you? Is that wonderful? Is that awesome? Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. Our predictions for giving this year for Building for Life was $5 million without any incentive at all. We've sat and talked about this. We believe with an incentive like this, maybe as a conservative number, maybe $7.5 million will be given this year. Well, added to the $2.5 million that was given last year, that means that the total amount of this gift could very easily be $10 million or more. Enough, listen, to pay for the entire deck and to leave us $5 to $6 million left over that we can use to divide up among the gym, the adult space, offices, and reducing our debt load. Is this a wonderful thing? You said, Lon, what did you do when you first heard about this? Well, I got down on my knees And I said, God, thank you. Thank you. And God, forgive me. Forgive me for ever doubting you. Forgive me for fretting and worrying and being up in the middle of the night. Forgive me for doing that. God, I should have known you would come through. I want you to know, Brenda and I have made a commitment, as you know, it's public knowledge, to build to a Building for Life for $25,000 over the 3 years that we're doing this. And we gave $8,000 last year. We were going to give $8,000 this year. And we're going to give $9,000 next year in the year 2000. But we've talked about it, and we've already agreed that we're going to try to move all $17,000 that we have left on our pledge into 1999. Because you know my background, I want my money doubled. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we figure we'll suck it up in 1999 and we'll recover in the year 2000. We're going to try to give everything we can this year. And I'm hoping that many of you out there will join Brenda and me in saying that we need to maximize this wonderful offer that God has made to us by trying to move as much of our giving as we possibly can into 1999. These people are trying to do us a favor. They understand that the more money that's given in the beginning, the less we have to borrow, and the less we have to borrow, the better it is for us. So by forcing us to do this, they're trying to help us. They made that clear in their letter. Now, if you're new with us and you don't even know what we're talking about, what this Building for Life thing is, or maybe if you've been sitting out there saying, well, I'll wait till they get this property first, and then if they get it, well, then I'll see what I'm going to do. And I understand how you might feel that way. I'm telling you, it's time to get with us. And we have a table out in the lobby where we have question and answer booklets and tapes that I did last year when we were explaining Building to Life for everybody, explaining this project. I want to invite you, if you're new or you need more information, you go out in the lobby and you pick up that information. Friends, this is a wonderful situation. Do you realize if we could somehow as a church family between last year and this year generate $15 million of giving, and these folks would give us $15 million more, and we get $7 from the sale of our building, do you realize in 4 or 5 years, we could move into a fully developed $50 million project debt-free? Do you realize that? We could be debt-free in 4 or 5 years in a $50 million project. This is what God has done. You say, Lon, who are these people? Well, I'm not going to tell you, because they don't want me to tell you. They want to remain completely anonymous. They're not going to have the deck named after them. They're not going to have the auditorium named after them. They don't want to do that. I'm telling you the truth. This is a wonderful family, a Christian family, and all they want to do is see the work of God go forward in Washington. They're not interested in any credit. They just want to see the work of God happen here in Washington, D.C. And what a wonderful thing that God has done for us here. Besides, it was God anyway. It doesn't make any difference what their name is. Ultimately, they did it in obedience to God, and it was God anyway. And that's who we need to thank, right? Right? Amen. Okay, now. All right. Now, we still have to answer the most important question. And you know what that is. So what? Yeah, so what? Well, see, I think there's a great lesson here that goes way beyond paying for a building. I mean, it's wonderful we can pay for a building, but there's a lot more here that we need to take stock of. I think there's a great message here about faith and about walking by faith. I want to show you right here in Joshua chapter 3 a real example of faith in action. Look what it says here. Joshua and the Israelites are getting ready to cross the Jordan River into Israel. It says in verse 8, the God speaking now says, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Verse 15. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest when they were here. Friends, I've been to Israel a number of times when it wasn't harvest season, and the Jordan River is just a little brook. You could walk across it with galoshes on. But during harvest time, it's a raging torrent. And that's what was going on here, the kind of torrent that would just pick people away up and carry them away. And it says, yet as soon as the priests, verse 15, who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge. Would you notice it wasn't until they stepped in the water, look what happened, that the water then from the upstream stopped flowing and piled up in a heap. Skip down a little bit. So the people crossed over opposite Jordan, and the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the river while all the people passed over. Now, you want to know what faith is? You see it in action right here. Faith means obeying God even when you don't have all the answers. Faith means stepping out and doing what God asks you to do, even though you cannot see at that moment how God's going to work out all the details. Faith means that you and I are willing not even to let insurmountable looking obstacles in the road deter us, but we're willing to come right up nose to nose to them, trusting that God will remove the roadblock right on schedule. Notice these priests. As they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant in obedience to God, there's this big old river in front of them. And what do you notice what the Bible says? That God didn't open it when they were 10 yards away or 5 yards away or 6 feet away. It's when they stepped in the river, God opened it. Friends, God's never late. He's never early. He's always what? Right on time. Right on time. This is faith. Faith means that we don't let an obstacle stop us, but we come right up to it, trusting God he's going to move it when it needs to be moved. Now, this is what Abraham did. Abraham, God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to leave your land and come follow me. And Abraham said, where are we going? God said, well, you don't need to know that right now. Well, where am I going to live? Well, you don't need to know that either. Well, what am I going to eat? I'll take care of you. Well, what am I going to drink? I'll provide something for you to drink. Well, who's going to protect me? I'll take care of that. Where am I going again, God? Well, you don't need to know right now, Abraham. Just come on. Are you with me or aren't you? Now, would you leave home under those circumstances? You know, the Bible doesn't say it, but here's an interesting thought. Did it ever occur to you that Abraham may not have been the first person God made that offer to? That God may have made it to 10 or 20 people before Abraham? Abraham was just the first one who was willing to walk by faith and take God up on the offer. And so look what the wonderful things God did for Abraham. Moses at the burning bush. God said, you go back to Egypt and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And remember what Moses said? Moses said, yeah, God, it's easy for you to say, but what about this and what about that and what about this and what about that? Have you thought about that? And God said, I'll take care of that. You just go. Moses went in faith. Yeah, there were obstacles, but he went anyway in obedience to God. Look what God did. And David went out to face Goliath. I would call Goliath a serious roadblock, wouldn't you? And yet he went out there and look what God did. Friends, faith, God always honors faith. You say, but Lon, living this way is risky. Mm-hmm, sure is. You can't live by faith without risk. It's impossible. And yet, God delights in his people who are living by faith, friends, because faith exalts God. Faith honors God. Faith is our way of declaring to an onlooking world that, yes, we see the obstacles, but we're not worried about them because we got a God that's bigger. We got a God that's bigger. And that honors God, and God always honors us back when we're willing to walk by faith. We have a core value here at McLean Bible Church, one of our 10 core values. It says, we must be willing to step out in visionary faith and take risk for God. So if you don't like taking risks, don't come to this church. I'm warning you. Don't do that. That's how we live here. We're always one milli nanometer away from complete destruction here. We are. But you know what? That's why God does some of the things for us that he does, because this honors God. And you know what, friends? That's exactly how we approach the National Wildlife Federation project. And true to his word, God honored our faith, and he's been right on schedule every time. Can I rehearse some of this for you? You know, when they crossed the Jordan, you know what Joshua did? He piled up a bunch of rocks. You remember that? And he said, now every time you come and look at these rocks, I want you to remember what God did and let it be an encouragement to your personal faith. I want to pile some rocks up for you today and tell you what God has done here and let you see all of this as an encouragement to your faith. You know, first I'd like to tell you how we even ended up with the National Wildlife property. We were looking for another piece of property for a couple of years, couldn't find anything. And finally, we had agents who said to us, in the greater Tysons area, there is no piece of property like you guys need, and if there were, you can't afford it anyway. So why don't you move to Loudoun County or Prince William County? We can get land cheap out there. And we prayed about it as church leaders, and we said, no way. We are not Loudoun County Bible Church. We are McLean Bible Church, and we're staying right here. And don't tell us what God can't do, please. Don't tell us what God can't do. And one of the people on this search team had a friend of his who called him one day and said, you know, I've got an educational institution that's looking at buying the National Wildlife Federation. We said, really? Is it for sale? He said, I don't know. That's what I heard. So for a month, we tried to call and get somebody at National Wildlife to confirm whether it was for sale. We couldn't get anybody to return a phone call. Finally, a month later, the agent for National Wildlife, the real estate agent, called and said, it's not up for sale, and even if it were, he said to us, he said, I have serious doubts about even talking to you guys because I don't think a church can perform on such a large and formidable transaction. So that's a pretty serious roadblock to have the agent tell you that. We prayed about it. We said, hey, let's keep going in faith. Let's keep going. So we set up a lunch with him. We went and had lunch. We had people praying for the lunch. We talked to him. And you know, before long, after that lunch and a couple more lunches, this guy became our greatest advocate. There were two people ahead of us to buy the National Wildlife Federation. They both dropped out. Before we knew what happened, we were number one in line. And the agent, who originally said he didn't think we could pull it off, went in and said to National Wildlife, I think these are the people you ought to sell it to. And that's how we got the contract. Now, I say that's God. I don't know what you think, but I say that's God. What do you think? Now, let's talk about the Fairfax County zoning and political process. Ay, 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 ay. I'm going to die early because of that. We needed special permission to put a church on this property. And the first important thing that God did is he had Stuart Mendelson in office as our supervisor here in the Drainsville district. The supervisor in before Stuart would never have supported us. We know him. And the supervisor before that actually signed a petition opposing our application. But Stuart was our supervisor, and Mr. Mendelson was a key player in God leading this whole process and making it happen. If we had not had Mr. Mendelson's support, we could never have seen this happen on the human level. And then as the process dragged on, we began to encounter lots of opposition from the neighbors. We were in the press, newspaper articles, editorials, you know this. And finally, in October of last year, the chairman of the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors came up to Mr. Mendelson and said to him that she did not think that we could get the 6 votes we needed to pass this, even though this was in his district, and even if he made the motion, she didn't think we could get 6 votes. You talk about something discouraging. This is the chairman of the county council telling you this. There's a roadblock for you. But we said, God, we've come this far by faith. We're not going to stop now. Let's just keep going. When we get, we're going to go right on into those county hearings. We're going to go nose to nose with the Jordan River. And we're just going to trust when we get there, it's going to open. And I was up one morning about 5 a.m. praying. And God said to me, now, Lon, here's what I want you to do. I was going, God, what are we going to do about this? He said, what I want you to do. I want you to take Dave Ballard and I want you to go around and see every supervisor personally. I was like, what? You know how long that's going to take? And God said to me, Lon. And I went, okay. I'll do it. And so Dave and I began going around seeing supervisors one at a time. We went in with the plans. We asked them for their support. And it was amazing as we did this how God turned us from some faceless application in front of these supervisors to real people. And we said, no, so we need your support. Can we have your support? And friends, we wrote letters, didn't we? Didn't we? Yeah. And we prayed. And we went to hearings. Didn't we do all that? And we said, we're just going to trust God and keep going. And when it was all over, we didn't get 6 votes. You know how many votes we got? We got all 10 votes, including the chairman herself, who said she didn't believe we could do this. She voted for us. Now, I say that's God. What do you think? Yeah. And then came this financial roadblock where, to be totally blunt with you, we couldn't afford to do it. What good is it that the county tells us we can do it if we can't afford it? And then you see how this worked out right on schedule? Friends, let me tell you something. God is never early. Now that's a shame because we want him to be early. That's a shame. I mean, I want to come over the hill heading down to the Red Sea. I want to be 20 miles away and see it open so I know when I get there, I'm okay. Don't you want to be like that? Of course you do. But you know, when I was on my knees and praying about this, God said to me, Lon, you don't need the Red Sea open 20 miles before you get there, son. You just need it open when you get there. So just keep going. And my dear friends, maybe you've got some things in your life right now. This is trusting the Lord, walking by faith is not just for churches. It's for people, individual, Christians like you, like me. And maybe you've got some area of your life today where God is asking you to walk by faith, where God is asking you to step out and obey Him even though you don't understand it all, and where you've done that and you've got huge obstacles in the way and you can't figure out any way in the world those obstacles, when you get there, are going to be moved. Let me tell you something. If God can handle the National Wildlife Federation project, He can handle your problem. Your problem is a pimple compared to this. I'm telling you. And God won't be early. God is not going to open the Red Sea 20 miles before you get there. But let me tell you something else. God's never late either. God's always what? Right on time. Right on time. That's right. All you need to do is have it open when your foot hits the water. That's all you need. And God will do that for you if you'll trust Him. The problem is with so many of us, and I was the same way, you know, we question God, we question His timing, we doubt God, and too many of us look at the obstacles and we stop. We quit. You can't do that. We got to keep going. If we believe we enter into this by faith, then we keep going by faith. And we don't stop. And we trust God that when we get there, when we need the Red Sea opened, it will be open. You don't stop because of obstacles. And friends, I promise you, in your personal life, if you'll live like this, God will honor you beyond your wildest dreams. God will do Ephesians 3 things for you exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or even imagine if you'll honor Him by living by faith. Yeah, it's risky. Sure, it's risky. And it's scary to live like this. But the greatest blessings of God come like this. Remember, the fruit's on the limb. If you want the fruit, you got to go out on a limb to get it. Nobody ever got fruit by hugging the trunk. You understand? And so you got to let go and go out there, and that's where the fruit is. And if you'll let go and go out there, I promise you, the risk is only apparent. If you're obeying God, there's no real risk. It's just apparent risk. But if you're where God wants you, you're safe, and God's got everything under control. So don't worry about the risk. You trust God if God's asking you to do that, and God will do for you what He's done for us as a church family. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for talking to us today and letting us pile up some rocks. Rocks that as we look at them, Lord, they fortify our personal faith. Yes, thank You for the wonderful things You've done for our church family. It's exciting. But God, may it not stop there. May we make the transition to understand this applies to our personal lives as well. And that in the same way as a church family, we've walked by faith through this whole process and seen You do unbelievable things. Things that just don't normally happen. God, in the same way as individuals, if we'll walk by faith, You'll do the same. Help us remember what the Bible says, that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are completely His, people who are willing to step out and walk by faith. Why? So that You might show Yourself mighty on the behalf of those people. God, we want You to show Yourself mighty on our behalf. Help us to step out and be willing to take the risks and to be willing to walk by faith, that You might do for us things that are beyond what we even ask or can imagine. Thank You that You are a great God. Lord, may we never let a roadblock stop us, because we have a God who's bigger than any roadblock. And so, with a God like that, encourage our faith today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.